Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, it's another sunny day here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and not everybody can say that today, but welcome to the Paula Price Show. Dr. Price, how are you?
I am blessed, and you know what? You're right. As I understand it, we've been having crazy weather across the nation, yes. And that a couple of our listeners said they woke up to snow yesterday.
Yes, yesterday, the day before, having the last, I think, tug of war with the season.
And you know what? Maybe there is a spiritual implication behind this tug of war, where the seasons don't even want to give way. That like there's this battle going on in the spirit, where the season to come won't give way to the season that has been expired. I think that is an interesting take on it, Ashley. We might explore that a little bit. But anyway, how are things going in your world?
Well, things in my world are going swimmingly, Dr. Price.
Well, I always ask that because you do the heavy lifting when it comes to our events and our planning, my life, you know, writing. You've been doing courses. You've been putting up that commission training. You've been getting the talents training. My goodness, you've been getting a lot of things ready. You know, Ashley, I think I might keep you.
Why, thank you. I'm glad I'm coming up on my tenure.
You know, you've been throwing that hint at me. Do you want a special celebration? Is that what this is about? You've been hinting at that for like 2 months.
Has it only been 2 months? I thought for sure it was longer than that.
Well, we will definitely celebrate your 10th year because I'll tell you something. Having a very effective staffer like you, who is a beloved daughter, but also a good assistant like you, for 10 years is a good thing. You know, one of the things people are always amazed about with us, Ashley, and I know you and I hear it a lot, and that is that our staff has been with us for decades. Like, the same staff. Some of you were out longer because, you know, I got you from college, and you all started out as college interns and ended up being permanent employees and permanent partners. I like to use that word better, permanent partners in our venture. And I think that is amazing. We often get people who comment on that. Really, the same team? How about this, Ashley? How many times do you meet people that we met 5 or 7 years ago and they say, are you still with Dr. Price? You know?
Yes. And then when I say pretty much the whole team is still here, then they go through everybody one by one. Really? Tammy's still there? Yes, Tammy. Bethany? Yes. Yes. Okay. The whole original crew you met that day, they're all still here. And actually, I just crossed over into 11 years on staff.
You're really going to push the envelope on this, aren't you? You're just going to push this envelope today. Well, certainly, let it be known that we will not allow your 11th.
Just admit. But it's been a good one.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely been a good one. It's been a wild ride. It's the ride that grows you up really quickly. And those are the kind that at the time you're not sure how much you appreciate sometimes. But in the end, you realize it's the best thing for you. You've always taught us life teaches you on the front end or the back end. And it's better to learn as much as you can early so that later on in life you have a different experience.
Well, you know, I tell you, that's a very good segue for what I want to discuss today, learning on the front end or the back end, you know, and that's something I learned a long time ago. I was in my mid-20s when God gave me that lesson, and I'm telling you, I know it was God today. At the point, back then, I would have said a voice, a hunch, or something. You know, we usually give them all of those vague names when we're not in relationship with them, hunch, intuition, something, somebody. I don't know, but today I can honestly say that I know it's the Lord, and he said to me, you know, life, you're going to pay your dues. You know, you're going to pay your front, life has a front load or a back load, and if you have a front load,
then you're going to pay a lot of dues up front, but your later years are going to be much easier. If you have all of your joy up front and you have misspent it, then your older years are going to be very difficult. And often when I start training young people, I let them know, you know, whether you like it or not, you're going to pay life dues because life is an exacting creditor, very exacting creditor. And we start out life indebted to life. And so whether it's your early days or your later days, you have to own up. You're going to have to pay up. And so I think that that's very interesting, and I say that to you because the Lord is dealing with me about that. I want to tell you that today the word that I would like to give, and I'm just going to have you thinking on, is that how to know your labor is not in vain, but also how to recognize that you're ready to be elevated and established as God's front runner. And I don't care if it's a front runner in your kindergarten class, in your neighborhood, in your book club, in your community, in politics, business, ministry. It doesn't matter. We're coming up on a season where there will be a great push forward, where the Holy Spirit is pushing forward those that he has been training in the background. But before I get into it, because it's a very good, I think, a very good exhortation today, I want you to, if you have people that you know hey, should hear about this, people that you've been talking to who've been really grieving in their heart, feeling left behind, feeling forgotten, ministers, servants, you know, partners, collaborators, business partners, email them, Facebook them, and talk to them about the fairness of God and that God is a just God, whether it makes sense or not. He knows what he's doing. And then I'm going to give you some signs to know that it's your day. You know, if I had to name this, that's what I would say, signs to know that it's your day, because life is about training and it's about reigning. And if you're going to, you know, I don't care if, again, it could be your Sunday school, head of the school play. I don't care if you're a teenager and you're trying to be elected class president. It doesn't matter. This is that season for those that God has been grooming and training in the background. This is very good. Text, Facebook, email, whatever, all of your friends and say, you need to get online and hear this because Dr. Price is giving us a very special exhortation today. Usually I give you admonishments with it, but today there is exhortations that are going to bring forth explanation. I'm going to explain some things. You know, Ashley, I've been on Facebook for the last couple of weeks explaining, articulating, if you will, God's explanations for where we are, the journey and the process. And our results have been, our feedback has been phenomenal. You know, it's been shared a lot and all of that. But God wants to wrap that up because there is a moment of encouragement that he wants to deliver to the body of Christ, to those who have been laboring in the background, et cetera. So I want to talk about that. But before we get into it, because, you know, when I get into it, I'm going to be like a moving train. We want to talk about our retreat that's coming up, Ashley, in a couple of weeks. I know that you have a testimonial from Apostle Key. I know we also have Apostle Sumler, who's from Louisiana, who's going to be our guest. She was one of our attendees last time we had in September. And last week we heard from Apostle Dawkins out of New York. So today I would like you to, again, just give us the dates again, because I love how you say it. We'll have we'll hear Apostle Keith's testimony. From there, I want to go right into how to know it's your day. Now, I'm taking this time because I want you to tell your friends, all of you who are listening, don't miss it today. Text them, Facebook them, tweet them, whatever it is you do, and reach out and say, but this is an encouraging word, this is an empowering word, and they want to get it firsthand. Some people have labored last night in prayer. I'm looking at you by the Spirit. You labored last night in prayer. God, tell me something. Lord, help me get it. Some of you have been fasting. Others have been, I mean, you're ready to go to counsel. You're ready to, and then there are those of you who are ready to throw in a towel. So I want to tell you the day before God breaks the new day, day before daybreak is what we're talking about. So if you have friends, you have your pastor, your minister, I don't care who it is, I've tried everything, God. I mean, talk to me. Tell me something. While Ashley is discussing our Executive Apostleship Training Retreat, you tell them, get on the line, call the Paula Price Show. Tell them right now, listen, this one is great. This is going to cross you over because this is a crossover word for the body of Christ and the kingdom of God. So, which means whether you're a minister or entrepreneur, business person, whether you're marketplace, workplace, it doesn't matter. I don't care if you are 16 years old trying to win an election or if you're 65, 85 years old, ready to you throw it in. Remember, Moses was 80. Trust me, this is the hour, and it's going to be a very good chat that we'll have today. So, Ashley, I'm going to turn that over to you. Give them an opportunity to all of their friends and to pass along this encouragement. I'm telling you, I don't care if it's your pastor, your apostle, whoever it is, if you're in connection with them and you know they're at this point, this break point, you have to get them on the line because this is something that they want to catch firsthand. Now, of course, you can go back to Blog Talk and you can listen to it again and again, and that's great, but there is something about that first fruit anointing. That's the yoke breaker, that first fruit anointing. So I want you to do that. So Ashley, talk to us a little bit about our retreat, and then let us hear Apostle Key's testimony.
Oh, my goodness. I want to hear the exhortation, but I will fall in line with the plan. I'm ready. I'm all juiced up. Yes, the Executive Apostleship Training Retreat is going to be here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We're coming up on that date very quickly. It's April 30th through May 3rd. It is for high-level leaders, apostles, apostolic prophets, and those who work very closely with their apostle and who are ready for advanced training. You can work closely with your leader but not quite be ready for that advanced training. And so this concentrated time together is advanced training, and it's Dr. Price advanced, guys, okay? It's for real. It's real advanced training. It's not something that we write down on paper because it's a good sell, and then you get there and it's kind of like, oh, this isn't what I expected. You are going to get more than you bargained for and more than you paid for with this, because the amazing thing about the Executive Apostleship Training Retreat is that you take what you paid for one time and you can use it every single day, every single month, for a year and years to come. So you are cashing in on your registration fee time and time and time and time again. Or as Apostle Suzanne Howard said, you're going to get a dollar back for every dime that you invest. And I think that's a great statement to make about this. But it is here in Tulsa. We have it in a nice hotel. And Dr. Price calls it a retreat because you as a leader can move back from your people, back from the front lines, and be with other leaders and like-minded apostles or prophets, high-level thinkers who are going through what you're going through. This teaching is designed just for you and your situation. Dr. Price is an apostle to apostles. She's a leader to leaders. And so she has crafted this to hone in on those issues. If you've come to the Tulsa Prophetic Forum or if you've come to the Apostolic Summit, you know what kind of information we get. But by and large, that has to be general enough for the wider population to really grasp and take back. This is for specifically those at the top. And that's why this training is invaluable if you are a leader and you need to come. If you have the registration, you're working on that registration fee, tap your people, those who can support you and who are always saying, Apostle, what can I do for you? Pastor, what can I do for you? Prophet, what can I do for you? Well, this is not some sort of vacation getaway. Churches come together and they pay for their pastors to have and apostles to have these lavish getaways, and it's necessary because they give everything to see to it that the vision happens. But how much more is it worth for your leader to come to something like this, to pull your resources together and make sure that your leader can make it to this training? They will come back a different person. In a good way, not like what happened to you, you're crazy, but in a great way. Like they're going to come back revived, sharp, energized, full of power, clear direction. I can't tell you how many people I have witnessed firsthand, and Apostle Sumler, she's on the line, Adrienne Sumler from Louisiana, she has a similar testimony of how when they met Dr. Price, their physical life was changed as well as their spiritual life was changed. So it's a whole... I call Dr. Price, you know, she's the doctor's doctor. Okay, she's going to cure. She'll cure what ails you sometimes. Now, she does not ever claim to take the place of anything medical, okay? So that's not what I'm saying. But she'll let you know, your vitamin C is off. You need to do this. You need to go back to the doctor. You need to pick a new one. You need to get to this event. If Dr. Price is telling you you need to come, then you should be here. You need to be here. There, we don't do false promises. We don't do gimmicks to have large numbers. It's all about the quality as well as the quantity here with Dr. Paula Price. So if you qualify for that, many of you, I've already connected with you. You've received your registration information or a phone call or at the very least a voicemail. Then it is time to make some things happen. Do not miss this opportunity for yourself. Leaders are notorious like parents for sacrificing the things that will make them better at their job for the sake of the sheep, for the sake of their children, sometimes to their own detriment. And right now, a lot of you leaders are kind of trying not to flatline in your ministry, in your calling, fighting some burnout, fighting confusion and what's going on. I'm telling you, you will get answers in Tulsa, April 30th through May 3rd at the Executive Apostleship Training Retreat. Hello, this is Dr. Price, the woman with answers. So you're going to come, sit at the table, get the training, get some good food, fellowship, and bonding with other colleagues on your sphere. I promise you, you will not be disappointed.
Amen. All right, do we have that clip from Apostle Keith?
Yes, we do.
All right, come on, switch those buttons you got going on there.
I know it. I'm switching, and I need them to cooperate with me right now.
Okay, well, if not, I can always fill the void. You know, I've got something to say.
I got it right here. Here we go.
Hi, Dr. Price. This is Apostle Keith. I would first like to say thank you so much for the opportunity to speak to your listening audience concerning the Apostleship Retreat. I initially attended the Apostleship Retreat in September of last year. And let me say the accommodations were exceptional. Every session was rich, challenging, thought-provoking, and enlightening. If anyone knows Dr. Price, she is a very thorough trainer and she doesn't leave any stone unturned, including the one in your soul. On that note, let me admonish the heart of the listeners concerning our soul. This training allows Christ to grip your soul and unseat what does not belong to his apostleship. Not only must Christ unseat those areas in our soul that do not belong to his apostleship, he must give us the reason why he even called apostles in the first place. Dr. Price conveys through God's wisdom the why of apostleship. In addition, as apostles, she challenged us to define our commission because our commission as apostles is why we even exist. I walked away with profound wisdom concerning my piece of Christ's apostleship, the understanding of wins and losses, and a renewed mind on what it's going to take to be a successful apostle. If you are contemplating on whether to attend, I say, look no further. If cost is a concern, tell your commission team. In fact, the moment that I mentioned the idea to my team, they went to work acquiring the funds for me to attend. If you want to know if you're really called as an apostle, put a demand on your commission team. It is a sure way to find out if the human resources you need are already assigned to you. In either case, don't miss the opportunity to collaborate with and be exposed to some of the most brilliant minds and unique training opportunity available. Make the investment in yourself today.
All right, and we're back.
Well, I'm glad, and I wanted to hear that. You know, it's so interesting to hear the different apostles' takeaway on it. Each one of them took something else. Took another emphasis away, which is why I want the people to hear it. And there's nothing like hearing it come from the people who live it. Okay, so by now you have told your friends' friends, you've told your team, your members, because some of you need to tell your commission team and tell your followers and your members, tune in on this, because they need to understand you. Because when we go through, our people go through with us. Your head doesn't get hit and your body says, I'm okay. You know, when your head gets hit, the whole body says, oh, boy, we have just taken a blow. So that is why, if you cannot do it, I want to encourage you. to go back when this is over, have your team, your members, your key people sit around with you and listen to this exhortation, because it's going to shape and reshape their thoughts, but I think it will further invigorate them to push forward with you and to see to it that you get across the finish line. So here's where I want to start. You know, many of us who have been groomed, there's the next string, because the next string is coming. Whether the first string knows it or not is irrelevant. It's coming. Not everybody's going to transition to the new thing. Not everybody is an innovator. Not everybody is a renovator. Some people are maintainers, and we need them. Hear me. Some people are maintainers. Just because God says, behold, I do a new thing, doesn't mean that he's totally trashing the old. That is not always the case. So in this particular admonishment, exhortation, I want to stress, some people are renovators. Some of you all are transitioning to be a renovator, repairers of the breach. Those are your renovators. Some people are transitioning to do a new thing. That is your innovator. And so you need to know. And then there are your maintainers who need to be encouraged to fight on, to press on, to stand up, but also to adapt so that they don't get washed away in the new wave. Because oftentimes that happens. If you don't adapt, you will get washed away in the new wave. And so I say that to you because God must do a new thing. It must happen. It cannot be held up any longer. I promise you by the Holy Ghost that we won't get many days from this particular discussion before we see heaven strike that thing from the throne of Christ to this earth, and this thing begins to turn. There will be a toppling. There will be a scrambling, but there will also be a setting aright, and there will be a standing up. So this new thing is happening. I often think that when Jesus was being arrested the night that he was being arrested, and they sent an army for him. A highly seasoned, highly trained, had taken many kingdoms army to arrest him. And so he's standing there. They meet him in Gethsemane, and he says, who do you seek? And they say, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am he. And when he says it, come on, people, work with me. Get a vision. When he says it, the army falls backwards. Now, think about it. He doesn't fight. He doesn't push. Now, get a vision. Get a visual of this. This entire army, they fall backwards on each other. They lose their weapons, their torches. They're all entangled, piled on each other. And Jesus stands there and waits. He stands right there, waits for them to get up, regather their composure, each man to pick up his weapon and his tool again. And he says, whom do you seek? And he says, Jesus of Nazareth. They are oblivious. In other words, it doesn't say they said anything. I'm sure they're embarrassed. I'm sure they're confused. I'm pretty sure they're dazed. But Jesus wants to let them know, I am going willingly. But there's an undercurrent to that, a postscript, if you will, to that example. And here's the postscript. He not only is telling them that he is going with them willingly and that he can wipe them out with a single word, but he's also letting us know that the old has to topple for the new to be. And so everything about what God is doing now is saying we're going to merge, we're going to confer, we're going to collaborate, or a lot of things are going to collapse. And so expect that. That's a difficult thing. Now, I say that with this in mind. God began to talk to me about this and about so many of you who've been there. You like, God told me to start ministry. He told me to quit my job. He told me to leave home. He told me to relocate. He told me to sell my this, to give my that away. He told me to do all of that only for me to go into hardship and calamity. Remember, we opened today's call with, there's a front load or a back load, but either way, you're going to pay life's due. It happens. And unfortunately, in the current, or I should say prevailing charismatic environment, we keep telling people there are no dues to pay because Jesus paid them. Well, if we're going to use Jesus as a model, we all need to hop up on a cross, take a few stripes, get beat all night, and die and come back, because that's not the whole of the story. So many of you, God told you launch out on the deep, go on your own. and you did, and you got adverse results. You heard the testimonies. You listened to this big minister and that big minister say, I went out and 3 weeks later, I'm 7,000 strong. And you're like, I'm trying to get seven to hold on. And so this has been a long journey. For some of you, the journey has been a decade. For some of you, it's been 3 or 4 decades. Listen, Moses had 4 decades expire before God says, I'm ready. Now, what was he doing in that time? Well, Moses was facing himself, and then he was facing his world, and then he was facing his adversary, and then he was facing, or at that point, prepared or equipped to confront his destiny. And so in all of those things, he was learning. Moses started out a king's kid. He started out in the palace. He's adopted, but nobody cares. He's got talent on him. Many of you all who stepped out are like him. God's hand was on him, and everything he touched worked. He garnered favor, captured attention, and always seized the high post. So he's well on his way to being the next king, but God has other plans. And so when it comes time, God yanks him out like he did with many of you, yanked you out of your world, yanked you out of your high place, yanked you out of your success lane, and threw you into his training, and it was fiery. You know, the apostles even talk about that. Peter talks about the fiery trials that we go through that's to test us, that we ought to think it's strange. Well, we do because it is strange, especially when you've been accepted, especially when you've been favored all of your life. You've been successful. You can touch it, and it turns to gold. If you are that of the Midas touch sort, for God to throw you into a fiery trial is stunning, shocking, and it takes almost 10 years for you to realize, oh, this is new. This is different, and it's not going to be what you remember. So Moses is thrown, he's yanked out of his world, he's thrust into a primitive life, he leaves this elaborate state life and political existence, and he's thrown into a primitive environment, okay? And now he's got to go from national laws to tribal rules, and it's difficult. He marries, he gets, again, because he's a natural leader, a born leader, even in that environment, he's immediately tapped for leadership. So you find out from later on after the Exodus that Jethro comes to him, and he's the head of the clan, and Moses is trained by him, and Jethro shows that he's been the one training him. So Moses is ready, but now here he is. So here he's got the third shock of his life. Some of you are right there. He's got the third shock of his life. First shock, I'm a king's kid, and my nanny is really my mother, but nobody can know. Okay, but I'm going to be raised to be a king. Second shock, I'm yanked out of my king trash, and I'm thrown in the wilderness. And not only am I thrown in the wilderness, I find myself in a primitive environment. Now everything that I learned seems wasted. It seems useless. Everything he learned, all of the royalty classes, all of the leadership, everything that he did to rule, all of that seems useless. Some of you are there. Everything you learned seems useless. And it's like, I'm never going to use it again. So he goes, and now he has to learn an entirely new way of life. And trust me, coming into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, my God, sometimes it's primitive, and sometimes it's very new. It certainly is foreign to the way that you've just left. So he's got to do that. Now he's got a third shock. He's got to leave that environment, go back to a land that he left 40 years earlier as a refugee, as a fugitive, rather, and he's got to go back and tell them, oh, by the way, me and my rod, we're gonna deliver my people. So he's got to go back and do that. But amazingly, God pulls it off. But now Moses is in the wilderness. And Moses, in Exodus 33, says something that seems outright weird. And I've heard it preached in the past. And people say, come on, Moses had no faith, whatever. If you don't know leadership, two-thirds of the Bible is not going to make sense to you. If you don't understand the mind of a leader, if God is not a sovereign over nations, a ruler of rulers, and if you don't understand what he's doing and with his own portion, his share of humanity, the Bible is going to make no sense to you. But for those of you who are called to leadership, those of you who are pulled out, those of you who are called to be, those that move and shake and shift God's world, this is going to speak to you differently today. So Moses is, okay, I've delivered these people. We're in the wilderness. They don't really like me, and they're not really sure of you. Where are we? We're stuck. And so he and God are having another one of their very private moments. And so it says, Moses 33:12. Moses told the Lord, this is the International Standard Version, Moses told the Lord, look, you have told me bring up this people, but you haven't let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and also you have found favor in my sight. Now, if I found favor in your sight, please show me your ways so I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Remember, this nation is your people. God answers very, very interestingly. He says, listen, my presence will go with you and I'll give you rest. So Moses is saying, show me your glory, pretty much. Show me your glory. We know that from the King James Version. But just this is another take. Then Moses goes, he said, and I will give you rest. And so then Moses told the Lord, if your presence does not go with us, don't bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that your people and I have received favor from you unless you go with us, and that we, your people, and I are distinguished from all the people on the face of the earth? The Lord told Moses, I'll do the very thing that you have said because you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. And then Moses said, please show me your glory. Now, think about it. God and Moses are having what we would call a convoluted conversation. It's very convoluted. Now, if you're thinking like we think today in our modern mind and certainly in our American mind. So Moses starts out and I just love it. If you read the 11th, he goes and tells you how God and Moses talk. God and Moses are friends. They've crossed over. Moses ceased to be a servant, and God is letting Moses know, because you did everything I said, because you put it all on the line, because it cost you everything, I am shifting our relationship. Our relationship is changing. You are no longer, I'm not going to be the superior and you're going to be the subordinate. But now, because of what you've done and because you've trusted me to display my majesty, even in the face of humiliation and embarrassment and all those things, I'm changing our relationship. And so no longer will I be the superior and you're the subordinate. From now on, we are collaborators. We're a team. We're partners. So that's number one. God, through all that Moses had gone through, he shifted the relationship. So he says, now I speak to you face to face. I don't send angels. I don't have intermediaries. You don't have to have visions and dreams. You and I, we're chatting as if we are on the same team, because now we are. And so Moses is, you know, he's having a great time. And so Moses said, but listen, you told me to bring these people up, but you haven't let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you said, I know you by name. Because Moses cannot believe that the Most High God has just altered their relationship. And people, sometimes it takes a little bit for you to think beyond the trial, to think beyond the tribulation, beyond the loss, beyond the suffering, beyond the blowback for your obedience, to realize that it wasn't in vain, that God had a genuine plan for you. And not only did he have a plan, come on, folks, get with me, you are key to that plan. And so because all the while you're obeying, you're thinking, I'm a victim. You don't know that God is setting you up for the ultimate victory. So he's saying, Lord, you told me to bring the people. So Moses is like, I did what you said, but you didn't tell me who's going to help. Moses cannot believe that God is not sending a 500 army or whatever with him, that he's saying it's you and me. For some of you in the thing that God called you to do, you're looking for all of this help, all of these people to come and to really get behind you, because you cannot believe that God is validating himself through you, and he's validating you through what you have allowed him to do, using you. Some of you all, you're being promoted because you're just too crazy to say no to God. You will let God use you, and it costs you everything. Remember, it cost Moses everything, his career, and now it's cost him two careers, because he had the career in Egypt, the career in Midian, and now he's got a third career. And so it cost him everything. And so he said, so Moses said, who are you going to send? And God said, yet you said, I know you by name. When people of authority high positions, bother to remember your name is because you are not where they have everybody else. You know, and so God, when God says, I'm calling you by name instead of just commanding you as one of my subjects, that's a big deal. That is why salvation is important when God says, I call you by name. Because when people of power and position bother to remember your name, care about your name, you have a different status, a different place in their psyche, in their world, in their mind. So you have to recognize that when you make a name for yourself with somebody, you've made that's important. And when they bother to call you by name, it alters the relationship and will alter the interaction. So God is saying, God is telling Moses, I'm not that I don't know your name is Moses, but I'm telling you, your name, what you pulled off from me has increased my fame, so I'm getting ready to increase your fame. So God is saying, I'm making you famous because I'm recognizing your name. What am I doing? I'm recognizing what you did. I'm making sure no one ever forgets what you did. I'm making sure that everybody knows that when it came time for me to do one of the hardest things I had to do as God on earth, this man named Moses had my back. He had me. He followed me. Some of you were there. God had to do some very difficult things in your family tree, in your government, in your job, in your company, in your career. But you stood and you made it happen, you bore the physical brunt of all the hits. And God saying, but you made me famous in the minds of this particular crew. So I'm going to remember you and make you famous in me. So when he said, I know you by name, I call you by name, that's because God said, I'm going to make you famous. So think about it. And he said, you found favor in my sight. When, you know, we don't understand favor the way people did. But way back in time, when they had, particularly in the era that the Bible was being written, favor meant you, when you came to a king's favor, you came out of even the normal staff. You had special portions, special access, special measure, because you appealed to a particular thing that no one else could do. So when you got favor, it's because you appealed to a need, a pleasure, a desire of that monarch that no one else had, and it elevated you. And it always came with status, always came with position, always came with resources. So Moses, God is getting ready to say, I'm getting ready to change your station in life. I'm going to change your status in life. I'm changing your economy. I'm changing your prosperity and your posterity. So when you see favor, it's not just, boy, I like you, you know, oh, I like visiting you again and again. Wow, I appreciate it. No. This is God, a person of power saying, I favored you, which means I'm lavishing you. I'm pouring out on you. I'm making a difference with you. I'm distinguishing you. So that's important. That's very important that we understand that, because so today we're so casual and so many terms are used casually that we have to go back in history and figure out where did that come from and why was that important. So to be a favorite was a big deal back then. If the person was a monarch, a ruler of a nation, that was a big deal because it totally gave you a new life. Next thing he said, so Moses still doesn't, he said, well, wait a minute. If I found favor in your sight, he's getting it slowly. He's warming up. He says, show me your ways. He doesn't just do like we do today in the church. Well, I got the favor of God and presume I've got the favor of God. So, hey, I can do this. Because God favors me, I don't need training. I don't need development. I don't need anybody to tell me anything. It doesn't become an item of conceit for Moses. It becomes an item of concern. Wait a minute. If you're God and you're favoring me and he knowing what that meant and you're elevated, I need to find out how you do things. If you're the one that pulled this off, I need to find out how to remain faithful, how to continue to keep your fame in front of the people, how to continue to remain loyal. That's important. So he said, hey, I need to learn your ways. We don't do that today. We assume and presume, snatch and take, but we're not concerned about learning God's ways. What we're concerned about is God backing ours and bankrolling our ways, and that's where so many people have missed it. But we're going forward. So he said, show me your ways. And he said, so I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. He said, I want to increase my favor. I don't want this to be the last time you and I have. This is not a monumental moment. I want this to be a maintained lifestyle for us. I want our communion, our relationship, your reliance upon me and my dependence upon you to be constant. So show it to me so we can keep this going. And he said, and remember, this nation is your people. He said, because you're leaving me over these people, I don't want to raise them the way I learned in Egypt. I don't want to raise them the way I learned in Midian. I want to raise them the way you want them to be, because you're the one who delivered them and made a public spectacle of the mightiest nation on the planet because of it. So he says, remember, I'm asking you because I want to keep these people in your way and in your righteousness. We look at today's church, they could care less about Jesus Christ. They could care less about what this man. They don't even want their churches to look like Jesus. They don't even want their people to remember there is a Jesus. You know, they want him to be a poster on the wall. But that wasn't how this began. And so that's what Moses said. And he goes on, and so he said, my presence will go with you and I'll give you rest. That's important. My presence will go with you, and I'll give you rest. Then Moses told the Lord, if your presence does not go, don't bring us up from here. Why? Because if this is the end, if this great exploit is what you did, if the best you can pull off for me is this, and this is marvelous, and now I'm stuck in the wilderness with all of these people who may or may not like you, will or will not serve you, if that's the best you can do, then listen, write me out right now in my life, because now we are known. We are what you and I have done, God. We pulled off a mighty thing. Everybody's looking at us. Everybody's watching. Now they can't see you, but they can see me. So that's why God has sent up. But when they see you, my presence is going to be so strong and so mighty with you that they will know you're not alone. You're not standing alone. You're not working alone, and that you didn't do this alone. In other words, you weren't some sort of crazy revolutionary that just decided to liberate a bunch of slaves and then take them in the wilderness and say, "Hey, hope it works out well for you guys. I'm done." That's not what this is about. That's why he said this nation is your people. So you didn't just liberate, okay, to alienate and to isolate. You liberated these people to bring them into a new life, into the life of the God that begot them. Very important. So you who have been standing, you're realizing, you already know, I didn't just do this by myself. I would not have done this by myself. Are you kidding? I'm not a rebel. I'm a conformist. I'm a conservative. Why am I doing this? I don't have a clue. But the God of revolutions has gotten a hold of me and told me I've got to do this. So you're making decisions you would have never made. You are cutting ties that you know are going to cost you everything. You are packing up. You've been doing it for years. Right? You get open doors, everybody's running in. God said, don't you go. So you can't go. You got to let opportunity after opportunity go by, and you've done it for years. So finally, you're like worn out. Okay, God, if you're not with me, and if you're not with me in this, I'm done. Because you finally come to the end of yourself where you say, I don't need to do this for my sake. But if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it for your sake. For many of you, that's a testimony, and that's a prayer that you. So God, Moses said, Lord, listen, if you're not going, in other words, if you're going back to where you were and now it's on me, we're in trouble. So I need to make sure that your presence is going with me, because I want the people who saw me bring these people out of captivity and deliver them in your name to know that you are still with us and you're still our God and I'm still on your team. I'm still on your task, your staff. I'm not going to serve another God. I didn't bring them out to throw them under some other deity. You know, today, a lot of Christians have get folks saved and throw them right up under another God. So you just transfer one darkness to another. And so he said, so we're supposed to be distinguished. We know that because Moses discovered, remember, he was trained in Egypt where you learn about every spirit, every spiritual force, and he found out that the God of his father is the most distinguished God. So he said, now, if that's the case, then his people are going to be distinguished. And so God said, I'm going to do it all. I'm going to do everything you said. For those of you who've been hanging on, listen, Moses did not ask that question because he lacked faith. He asked that question because he had exhausted his first call faith, and now he's moving into faith level two. As a minister, you have to be ready to go to the one. Now, the first faith, it was you and your strength and you and your ability and what you knew. The second level is you realizing what you are, what your limitations and what only God can do. And then the third level is when you decide to establish hitch your wagon to Christ star and no other, and to be his go-to person. Some of us do not want to be God's go-to person. We want God. We want to go to God, pick up what we want, like a cafeteria, restaurant, and go back and do life our way. But Moses became God's go-to man. That was what he did. And when God makes a leader, he calls you into leadership. He's doing it because he wants you to become his go-to in that region, in that area, in that situation. Now, so Moses knows that. He already knows, I'm God's go-to man. I'm it. And I want that. You know, some of us don't want God to rely on us. We don't want God to lean on us. I do. That's why I've lived the life I've lived, taken the hits I've taken, and suffered the things I've suffered. Because when it's all said and done and the smoke clear, there still is no better God. There's still no more powerful God. There's no more awesome leader. So I'm going to go ahead and pick myself up and keep on pressing on. And a lot of you have been like that for years. And years, your lost family, husbands, spouses, wives, I can't get with it. Moses' wife, I'm sorry, this is crazy, we out. Took Moses' kids and left him. So that, I mean, but Moses still didn't say, well, I got to go chase my family. No, he didn't. He said, hey, if God can't give me a better one, he can't give me somebody who understands who I am to him, then that's probably not what I need. So he just kept on going on. Later on, God gives him a wife that's more conducive. Okay, so that. So he goes there. Now, Moses asked God this. He says, if you don't go with me, what are you kidding, Moses? God has been with you. He has followed you. He has led you. He's paid you. For goodness sakes, you parted a sea. How is it that you can say that? Because those were done. But he's faced with God's triumph, with God's trophy. God brought these people out, and he said, okay, Moses, it's on you. Huh? Uh-uh. No, can't be. And so now he realizes his role with God is changing because his responsibilities with God is changing. Now he has the responsibilities of success, of victory, of triumph. Before, he had the responsibility for deliverance and for persuading the people and all of that. Now he's done that. The whole kind of clash of the gods was over. Now he's got this people. Moses won, but look what he won, prizes. All of these people, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of folks in the wilderness who've left their home, left their family, left everything they are, and the nation is gone. So now everybody's stuck. Some of us have been caught in the sovereign grip of God, the steely will of the Almighty that says, I want this, this is how it's going to be, and nobody's going to stop me. You know, the most wonderful thing we have is when God is laid back after he's done it, because then he doesn't bother us. But when he wants to do something, and those of you who know it, some of you are going to tell me about it, you will meet the steely will of God, and that will, that iron will, won't bend. It will break everything, but it won't bend. And so Moses and his family, Egypt, Israel, they've all gotten caught up in this iron will contest, this clash between God and his adversaries. And God is like, but I'm the maker, so I'm going to win this. And so Moses says all of that. So now he has to ask God for new favor and new grace because Moses is like, I don't know. The favor I had in Midian, that took care of my needs. The favor I had in Egypt, that took care of my needs. But lest you forget, Most High, we are in the wilderness, and there is nothing here. We are starting from scratch. We have to build from nothing. All we have is the spoils of the war that we took from Egypt. But what do we do with that? He has to do government. He has to figure out laying things out, set up. It's a huge monumental task. And Moses is like, surely you got some help coming along. Surely you're not going to put this entire massive vision on me. Surely you have help. So Moses and God are coming to a different relationship, a different meeting of the mind. But Moses had to ask that question not out of ignorance of God, which is what we often conclude. He asked that question out of experience with God. When you have experienced God and he's no longer Papa Daddy sitting in the armchair, he's no longer sugar pie, teddy bear, you know, cuddly bear and all that stuff that we like to tell you, but he is now moving in his office and he's moving in his dominion and he's moving in his planet. He's a different person. That is what apostles learn. That is what prophets learn, that when God moves and he's shifted, he is different. He is no longer dad at work. He is dad on the job. He is dad. He is God on the scene. He is now out to win. He is exercising his authority, and he is moving his sovereignty. That's what people are afraid of right now. But many of you have been living it. Now, there's another example of this. again, knowing God from experience. See, when you have been with God and you didn't quit God, you didn't sell out, you didn't start doing cheesy little sleazy television shows, you didn't start doing cheesy little this and selling out that, you didn't start picking up a cult book and sitting in a cult meeting, but you stayed even though it cost you everything. You are flayed, you're scarred, you're striped, you got the stripes of Jesus all over you, but you still say, no matter what, I'm going on. You're the one I'm talking to today. Selling out is cheap. But buying in may cost you the most, but it yields the best. And some of you are there. You're still there, but you bought into God's vision. You bought into God's world. You bought into, what did Moses say? You bought into his ways. You bought into his culture. You bought into his kingdom. And you know the difference between a sellout and a buy-in. And you chose to buy in. And so here's where you are. Well, there's another one, David. David had an awesome prophecy. Awesome. And he, all these years, well over a decade, he's running for his life. He has a contract, a governmental contract on him. He's like, today we would call him the most wanted. Everywhere he goes, there's a most wanted poster posted on the wall, and that's his picture. He got to go underground, out of ground, leave the state, leave the country. He's got to do it all. So, but he's a warrior, and all along the way, God is making him a winner. He's making him a champion. Every threat, every risk, every jeopardy, every vulnerability is schooling him and instructing him so that he becomes keener and keener, shrewder and shrewder for his future calling. But David has a day. But they've had a war. The man, if you read the Psalms, this man, I'm telling you, he's been through. So he has a day, had a war, come home from the spoils of war. I want to see my family, hug my kids, kiss my wife, just put my feet up and just recover, come home, and his family has been abducted. His camp has been ambushed, and wow. Now, he has, not only is he fatigued, remember I said to you, some of you, your people are tired too. He's fatigued, but his people are tired. His people are tired. His soldiers are mad. They're like, what? Not, we just come off a battle, and you're telling me what? And they're ready to kill him because now they're losing hope in his call. They're losing faith in his destiny. And God has to step in. Something huge has to happen. Now, the enemy wants David to bow out the day before because he already has a mandate on when God is elevating you. He already knows it. Remember, if you read Zechariah 3, Satan knew that Zerubbabel was going to be promoted before Zerubbabel did. So you think about it. He already knows God has sent down the mandate. Tomorrow you reign. Next week you're promoted. In a month you're going to be publicized. You're going to be catapulted on center stage. He already knows the date. So he is trying you to your very soul. He's trying you right now. He wants you to quit God so bad he could just taste it. He is, working you over in your dreams, working you over in situations, engineering and architecting false and illusory failures and threats because he wants you to be so tired because he knows that if it was him, he would be tired enough to bow out by now because he did. So he wants to make you bow out so you bow under him. And so you've got to hold on. You cannot let go. I don't care what got taken, who took what, whatever. I'm telling you, the best is around the corner. I'm telling you, grit your teeth, grin and bear it. Drop to your knees, pray like crazy. Cry if you must, shout if you must. But if you shout, shout a praise. Because God is saying the enemy already has the directive. You are out of here. You are up. You are free. You're delivered. And he wants you to toss it all away, turn your back on Christ, reject the word, reject your future so that he does not have to yield your harvest. This is all about him having to restore all that he took. And he doesn't want to have to give it up if you give up first. So listen to this. He doesn't have to give it up if you give in. So if you don't give in, he's got to give it back. And that's what he hates. So he's got people are calling you. Family's mad. Wife's mad. Ready to leave. Husband, I'm done. I'm out. Kids, I'm going to hell. Leave me alone. Everything he could do. You want your home is on the line. Your car is on the line. You might be living in the street, living on the road. You don't have anything. And all you've got is a promise from God and your conviction that God's word cannot return to him void. And so you're standing, and that's all you got, because Satan has stripped everything else of you. You stripped. He stripped your dignity. He stripped your credibility. He stripped your reputation. You are stripped. And all you got is that one moment in time when it was you and God, and he spoke to you face to face and said, hey, I'm going to use you to do great and mighty things. So that was him. So here's David. He's only got that. Now his army, these are, I mean, we trust you. We with you, man. We with you. But no, now my kids are gone. My wife is gone. Oh, no, we're going to kill you. You are a dead man today because something is wrong. The text says in 1 Samuel 30, verse 8, they're talking about killing me, God. David's got to go to God. He's got to go to God. Now, this is a warrior. A warrior knows that if you are under attack, what do? You go into war mode. You go into combat mode. But this guy has been fighting for decades. He's tired. And he's like, I don't want to fight another losing battle. And that's where some of you are today. If I'm going to lose, leave me alone. I don't want to fight another losing battle. I've seen enough failure. I know what it is. I've got scars. I've got wounds. I'm telling you, I don't want to do it. And so he goes to God and he says, hey, God, these first four, they're going to kill me. So I need to know, is this a battle worth fighting? Because this is the defining battle. This is the promoting battle. This is the catapulting battle. But David doesn't know that. And some of you don't know that the one you're going to face is not real. And so he says, God, do I fight or do I just give up? Do I just, I mean, come on. I don't even want to fight another war. Seasoned warrior. Now, again, people are like, oh, yeah, but he just didn't have faith. No, no, no. He had experience. And see, when you grow in God, and some of you all are like that, you're like that with me. We are the one and the same. We've been with God. We may not have seen the riches of God yet, because that's our destiny, but we have seen the rigors of God in readiness. And God, he's a rigorous trainer. He does not, I mean, strenuous. So some of us, we've had experience with his rigors, and we know that we need to ask. We know we need to make sure a battle is worth fighting, a deal is worth taking. This is it. We need to, we make sure we have to ask, because in the beginning, we just ran on instinct, we ran on experience, we ran on strength. But when you have had to walk it out and walk it out the way you and I have, oh, honey, you learn to ask the right questions. I got to ask the right questions. I have no more presumption prayers. I don't say, you know, I decree, declare, snatch, and take. I don't do that. Hey, God. Is this a part of our campaign? Because if it isn't, I'm going to let this pass on by. That's got to be somebody else's fight. And so David needed to find out, is this my fight? And is this a fight that you're with me in? And Moses, is this my call? And are you still with me in this experience? I already know what it is to fail you. I already know what it is to lose. I know what it is to have blind faith. I know what it is to have futile faith. I know what it is to be fantastical, to be imaginary. I know all of that. And I know what it is to be futile in you. But tell me, is this a fight I need to fight? Because if I do, I'm going to fight it because I know I'm going to win. But if not, I'm going to have to suffer the loss. And God told David, go after it. And because you're not only going to win, you're not only going to win, you're going to recover all. Now, because that's the question David didn't ask. Will I win? Can I win this? And will I bring it all back safe? Because I don't know, because I'm telling you, this is hard. And God says to tell you, I'm almost done, but he wants me to begin, encourage your heart that you are at that Moses. Is your presence gone with me? David, should I take up this fight? But there's one more, just one more, and that's Solomon. Solomon had two brothers who wanted the throne more than anybody at all, Absalom and Adonijah. They politicked, they maneuvered. Every time they went ahead, they jumped ahead. They had nothing, but they were public. They had a lot of mouth. They had a lot of charisma. They had a lot of all of that. But what they didn't have was David's trust. And so they politicked, the older their dad got, the more they postured and prepared themselves. They made promises. They cut deals. They told people, hey, I'm going to be king when my father died. So then first Absalom gets killed, and then his other brother picks up the campaign. And he goes so far as to have his own election and his own coronation. This is a powerful thing. And so he has this whole thing. He inaugurates himself, and he's got this crew, this group of people, leaders in the country who are sitting over there at his house because they believed his side of the story. Now, nobody tested David. Nobody asked David. But David is old, and he's dying. But David's prophet, listen to me, prophets, but David's prophet said, but you know what? My job as a prophet is to make sure to guard what God has said and to guard the destinies of this, these assignments and the destinies of whom God put in power. So the prophet goes to Bathsheba and says, you know, the Lord did say your son's supposed to be king. You realize they have a coronation back over there in the state, so you need to figure out what you're going to do. And Bathsheba, like Jacob's mom. See, because sometimes you mamas are going to have to guard the destiny when your sons and daughters are ready to collapse, ready to give it all up. You're going to have to say, but I know. So she goes, and she goes to David because she's got his ear and his heart. And she said, well, didn't you say my son is going to be on the throne? David said, yeah. She said, well, why is Adonijah already inaugurated? He said, oh, really? David said, listen, go get my horse and get my royal robes. Go get my son Solomon that nobody hears about. From the moment he's born, get my son, put him on the horse, put my robe on him, and make them sound the trumpets to let them know that I don't care about the party going on over there. I don't care about the coronation down the road. I don't care about the big guy here, the exploit over there. I don't care about any of that. I just crowned my own successor. And so he crowned Solomon. So they may have had the new elect rebel, but Solomon had the king's emblems, authority, and also his staff and his palace. And so God wants to tell you, it doesn't make a difference who looks like they got there ahead of you, who looks like they're draining, they're winning. He doesn't even care how many people are following that person to the false, to the wrong coronation, to a false inauguration. He doesn't care about that because where he's operating, that's the seat of power. That's the center of authority. That's where it is. Now, why did God choose Solomon? Again, Solomon is like us. For years, he's watched his brothers win this, win that. He is the one that brought shame to his father. He's got a whole lot of stigmas attached to him, but not only him. That's what the family. David, on the other hand, is grooming Solomon, and you don't know until before David dies that Solomon is the one that he was grooming all along. So while the other ones were out in public posturing, God had Solomon in the back, preparing, and he lived with their jokes, he lived with their ridicule and their scorn and mockery, he did all of that, but God kept telling David that this is the one I chose, so David groomed the right one. So don't think that just because you are still trying to figure it out, still trying to work it out, that people are leaving, they don't like you, they're following this big name and that big this and that. When God gets ready to sound the trumpet, he's going to pull his horse out. He's going to pull the royal robes out. He's going to command the staff that's in his palace, and they're going to obey him. And if you read the end of the story, the Bible said that when they heard the trumpet, see, it's sad that they told y'all don't read the Bible any longer. You can't figure out what God is doing. They took you out of the Bible. Why? Because they never wanted you to figure out what God is doing. So the Bible says that when they heard the shout in the capital, the shout in the city, the shout in David's neck of the woods, all of those people who were partying and celebrating and at the inaugural ball of Adonijah, one by one started backing out the door. They didn't want anybody to know they had been there. They didn't want anybody to figure that out. And Adonijah had to come and beg for his life from his brother, the same one he knew God would never use, the same one he knew David would never do. Do you realize that while they were out posturing, while they were out politicking, they didn't realize what Solomon was doing. He just looked like he was a stay-at-home kid. He looked like he didn't want to be in the in crowd, looked like he didn't want to travel with the pack, and all of that. It never dawned on them that when they left, he went to class. And when they left, he went to training. So I would say to you all, if you're anything like me, I know I went a little over. We're going to go to our guest, and then we'll take a few calls. But I do believe today, I do believe you needed me to give you this exhortation, because a lot of you, you're 3 seconds, 60 seconds, 1 hour, a day, week, month, not a year. I said again, not a year. Ready to sit on David's horse, ready for God's glory to pass on by, ready for the word of the Lord to give you your final victory. Some of you are right there. It's your time. And now I showed you, if you've lived those stories, it's your time, and your leaders need to hear this, and those who are following you need to hear this, because I'm telling you, as surely as Jesus is Lord, it's our time, And no matter what anybody says, no matter what it looks like of these last few, you know, those last closing moments of your trials and training or your training trials, I don't care what it looks like. I'm telling you, you're about to be changed. Your relationship with God is changing. You're going to deal, he's going to deal with you as a partner, as a co-laborer, and no longer as a superior and a subordinate. Your time is about to change, and God is getting ready to deal with you as somebody he just, that he's groomed and finally polished and finally prepared to take the lead, take the reins of authority for him in the earth. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care that your brother is literally having a whole coronation and a position that you know God told you is yours. Trust me, when God gets ready, the shout will come for your promotion. Believe me on this word, because this is a powerful word today. So if I didn't get your call, you'll forgive me, because we'll pick your calls up next week if we don't get to you today. But you should have been fully edified and empowered by what it is. Now, we will be taking some calls in a few minutes. I want to go right. You know, I'm going to give Prophet Ashley, you know, I got to, because, you know, she's been talking about this 11 years, so I'm going to have to give her some time. And so we're going to give her, I want to hear her feedback. I always like that a prophet, apostle kind of tag team thing. And then we're going to hear from our guest, Apostle Adrian Sumler, who's going to talk to us about her experience at the retreat. And then I'm going to go right into calls. We will not have another interruption. We're going to go right into calls. Okay, Ashley, I'm right there with you.
Wow. That's all I can say about that is, wow, we went to school today and came back delivered and enlightened truly on what God is doing. It's such a powerful, forceful exhortation. And I say forceful meaning forcing us, shifting us to look at our situations differently and to not kind of lay down under them or even just be confused about what's going on. So I appreciate the clarity, the extensive clarity that you brought to that word, that you brought with that word in that exhortation. I love it. How to know you're ready to be elevated as God's front runner. Such an important thing to know, because sometimes our desires can fuel our prayers and fuel our decrees and fuel our education, and we may not be ready yet. And so that's important to know. And, of course, paying dues in the front end or the back end of life. But the whole layout of Moses' story, it's the story behind the story, which is why you need apostles and prophets to tell you what's going on between the lines of the Word of God, not imagining things and making things up, but truly what is happening, and how Moses was thrust from the state life to the primitive life. We don't realize the shock to his system. I mean, he's the classic, God called me off of my secular job. You know, I mean, that's what we say now. He called me off of this job. I was making all of this money, and now I'm working in the church. And Moses was so similar. He had it made. He was made in the shade. He was living in the palace. He was raised as royalty when he wasn't. And then God thrust him out and, like you said, went from that state government to the tribal way of living. What a psychological trauma, an emotional trauma, on top of just the aesthetics, how his aesthetics in life changed, and how he never returned to that kind of life once God drove him out, because he sent him on another assignment. But and also Moses' relationship, how it changed with God. Once he laid the gauntlet down and Moses didn't look back and God knew he was on his team, he shifted how he dealt with him. And so many of us want it the other way around. Well, I want to be God's friend. I want to be God's pal. I want to be his buddy. And then I'll do these things for him based on that relationship. And that's not how it works. In fact, that's not really how it works for too many people, especially people in power. They want to see that you are in it to win for the goal, that you're a company man, that you are defending whatever, and then that relationship changes, but not before them. And finally, when you talked about selling out versus buying in, and how selling out is easy. You just, I'm out. I got to go. You run. You give an excuse. If you're in the church, maybe you'll send a letter to your leader. Maybe you'll actually sit down to their face and tell them, I can't do this or not. But other than that, it was just a powerful exhortation, Dr. Price, that I myself am going to be thinking about some things in the immediate future and resetting, tweaking, getting that fresh perspective, manning up. Sometimes we are just kind of too easy to collapse, and with the right perspective and the right attitude.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, it's really wonderful, and I do want to put one last point on it. Make sure it is. Make sure the person is not self-appointed and dragging you into their self-aggrandizement. Make sure that it's God, and only God will tell you. And when God tells you, he won't let you leave. You will want to leave, but he won't let you leave. And the person will not have to manipulate you to stay, because you'll constantly say, they'll be concerned. That's how you know the difference between the two. The person will be concerned about your well-being, the well-being of your house and your family, because they believe that it's up to you and God to determine how far you're going to walk in this journey. The person who is self-promoted and in their own self-aggrandizement is going to manipulate you. They're going to coerce you with words. They're going to coerce you with prophecy. They're going to scare you half to death. Tell you that your car's gonna go off a cliff. Your children gonna see all of that. That's not God. God doesn't do that. When God wants you to do something, he lets you know. Trust me, and you will have a great reward. I will reward you. This person won't reward you the way I can. So you need to know the difference between the two. Don't just hang on in there because so and so said that this is what God said. You need to get affirmation, confirmation, and revelation of that stand for yourself. Wanted to put that in there, Ashley. Okay, do we have Apostle Summer on the line?
We do. We do. And I'm going to go to her line.
Right, sure, I didn't miss nothing. It was awesome, Dr. Price. I didn't miss a lick. I mean, I know God put me on this phone today to hear what you ministered today. I'm just in that place, and I thank God that from apostle to apostle that we can exalt and just build each other up. And sometimes when you can't put your finger on the place where you are in God, God will send somebody to put your finger on the spot. And that's what you did for me today. Thank you so much.
Oh, you are more than welcome. I'm glad that you're able to join me. I love the fact that God put us together. You know, you and I had a very peculiar meeting. An introduction is what I want to say. So I want to, we only have not a lot of time. Obviously, you know, I still want to get to my callers because somebody is pulling my spirit and I don't want to miss their call, but I don't want to cut you off either. So maybe you can just give us the short version of how you and I connected and then how the retreat, which got you to the retreat, but then how the retreat blessed your life and your ministry.
Okay. Okay. I met Dr. Price, it's interesting, through VIE email through one of my alma bearers contacting her because I wasn't in a exactly good place at that time or a place that, whereas I've been in the kingdom over 20-something years, but been pastoring for like 14 and been walking in apostleship about 7 years, but had went through the storm and found out that I had cancer in the midst of the storm, thyroid cancer. And my people were so concerned, they actually tracked Dr. Price down through email and mentioned about me just not having the strength, the endurance that I usually have, and the ability to go forward. So she contacted you, and by the Spirit of God, you knew that it was the Spirit of God connecting us, and you received the email, and you called. And you took time out of your schedule to pray and labor and minister to me, and I can actually tell your listeners today that my life has shifted since. Even today before I called you, a door opened. Because of the same experience I had last time at this year, another door opened. But we met through email. She prayed for me, ministered to me, and got me strengthened enough to get back on my feet and put me in a place again where I could hear from God again. Because sometimes in your suffering and when you're going through, you can't hear the way you need to hear. And I couldn't hear because of the level of warfare that I was in, battling spiritually, emotionally, and physically in my body. So you ministered to me, strengthened me, got me back on my feet. And you invited me to the retreat. And the retreat was so good because it managed to confirm, even though I already knew and I've been knowing for a long time, not only my apostleship, but it helped me to understand the commission. It heightened my creativity. It heightened the gift of wisdom, whereby you, I call it Solomon's anointing, whereby you release wisdom upon people. It is. Especially made me, and I mentioned this to you before, extremely strategic. It taught me how to do warfare strategically, how to pick my wars and my battles, how to choose what I'm gonna go forward with and what I'm gonna let go was not important. It also taught me how to hear from God and how to be more patient. The truest sign of an apostle, when you look at the list and we talked about it, one of the things was patience. It has made me more patient gave me the ability to sit and wait on God. You need strength to be patient to sit and wait sometimes. And it really taught me how to be patient, how to wait on God, and how to wait on God's timing. So the reason why I'm going back this year is because I want to learn the fellowship with other apostles, and it has really opened up the realm of teamship ministry to me. Not only have I built my own team through the years, but it has brought me to the place where I'm understanding that we need to be commissioned, why we need to be commissioned, but now we're being called out as a full team. It's no longer a one-man show in Zion, but going forth as a team and recognizing the team's gifting, who's the strongest and what, just really beginning to move and function as a team.
Woo. But I tell you, you surely did give us a short version, and it was rich. And I am glad. I have to tell you, I'm glad I met you. Before I let you go, Apostle, I'm going to say this. Your armor bearer deserves to be celebrated. The story that brought us together, I don't usually read all my emails. You know, I don't have time. So I don't read them. But the Holy Ghost, remember, I told you, it was like it's midnight. I'm searching through my email just because. And it comes up in her email. And the way she wrote it, her belief in you, her faith in you, and her fight for you, that thing got my soul. And because she did it, because you and I didn't know each other, but because of what she said, I said, I'm going to call this woman, and I'm going to pray. And that your olive there so believed in you, even in your battles. That's the point that I'm making. Even with all that, she believed in you, and she was willing to do whatever it took to fight for her apostle. And I'm going to tell you, that changed my life. That revolutionized my thought, and I was proud of her for doing that. And then she fought to make sure you got here. And this woman will get that armor bearer's reward. I have not met many. I know there are others, but I've not met many like her. And so, and I even said to Ashley, I said, Ashley, this one here, I'm going to do it for her. I don't know her apostle. I don't know who did what to whom. And then when I talked to you, I knew God just gave it to me. But I want everybody to know, when you are called and when God has a destiny written for you, he will move heaven and earth to see to it that it happens. And that's what he did with us. I am looking forward to us meeting again in a couple of weeks. Would you like to give my callers a final admonishment or encouragement about the retreat?
Yes. It gave me such direction and such clarity, not so much on my office because I already knew that, but it gave me direction. I was torn between going to the prison and the schools because I had been in this prison for a couple of years before I met Dr. Price. But by the time I went home, I had such clarity on going into the schools. And within 6 months' time, we are in three schools in St. Charles Parish and the phone that in St. John Parish. And this morning I got a phone call from my son saying that OCS have a program where they want our ministry to work with families at risk, the state. And they want to pay us to help families at risk, where they want me to minister and mentor parents while my team do the children.
Whew. Now, is that a testimony? That's a testimony.
And, it came full circle within 1 year, because last year we got the schools. This year, now we're going to be able to minister to the parents of the children at the schools, but through the state.
That's excellent. And do you notice that, here's what I want to say, is that you notice that this apostle's mantle is going larger than the local church walls. That's what I'm excited about, because we are a kingdom representative. We are kingdom office, and that's what we do. So I'm excited. Well, I want to say thank you, Apostle Sumler, for your testimony, for sharing, and I definitely want to tell you I'm looking forward to hugging your neck in a couple of weeks, and congratulations on that great opportunity. I bless it, I seal it to performance, and I cause it to bring forth the harvest of the King in the lives of the people of this generation, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus.
Amen. God bless you. See you in a little bit.
Thank you, Apostle.
Thank you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Prophet Ashley, was that a testimony or what?
Oh, I just love her. She packs such an energetic punch that anytime she comes around, the energy just goes up.
Oh, she's an amazing lady, truly amazing lady. And I'm telling you, God gave her all her life back. That woman's vitality is stunning today. And I thank God for it. And I always thank God for her armor bearer. I understand that she'll be joining us. I'm looking forward to it. Great woman of God. I want to say to you all, Ashley, as you get ready to take us to the phones, I want to say to you all who are listening, you know, it is a treasure to have an armor bearer, an attendant, a whatever we want to call them, because they're called different things, but it is a treasure to have one who will stand with you in your battles and difficulties and war you back to your feet, war you into destiny. You know, there was always a story, and when I read about David and I read about Abigail, that was one person who knew his destiny and put it all on the line for it. We all have people in our lives who do believe in you. If you're standing with your leader and you don't care what anybody says, God has told you that your leader is what he's working with, don't allow even the threat of death to stop you, because if God said it, he will bring it to pass. Okay, Prophet, who do I have on the line today?
All right, we have first on the line today, Mark from Florida. He is checking back in with you, Dr. Price. You have met him and his wife. You've given him a word several months ago. And so, Mark, welcome back to the Paula Price Show. He has an update for you and a prayer request.
Hey, Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Hello, Dr. Price. How are you?
I am blessed. How are you?
I'm doing well. Just really quick. You remember my wife and I from Boca Raton, Donna, who was getting her doctorates in nursing? We were met at Jesus People Church.
I remember.
A couple years ago, and I just shared with you how she got a promotion. You had spoken that she was going to get a promotion and get to another position, and she was going to wake up like, I can't believe this just happened. Well, my wife got her doctorates in nursing, and she was able to move into as a professor at one of the local universities, and I shared that with you, and the nursing program. And within maybe that year was not even up, obviously. She is now the director of the Doctorate of Nursing program, which part of that happened because of her doctor's program. She did a PSA for the nurse practitioners, and they liked it so much, and it just helped really steer them in a direction to take on and begin this doctorate of nursing program. So she's now the director of nursing, and she's never been in education. She's never even taught a kindergarten class. And it's very powerful. So I just wanted to share that with you for sure, because I have the time to – I let her know when I'm able to get on the phone between my appointments and give a testimony, because it means a lot to her. And then the other thing was, I know you had prayed – for me, I do personal training, fitness training for athletes. I went through the assessment there, so I'm a prophet teacher, and I flow that way. And also, I'm a life coach. So I've been getting clients just coming to me without any advertising, anything like that. But I am looking for a place. I know we prayed about that before, but you did prophesy that over me in Boca. I think you said that, you know, I will have a place. It wouldn't be very large, but it would be effective. So I am able to train in my development. It's a gated community. It's a small training area, and I also use some of the outdoors area. But here in South Florida, athletics is really big. So most of the kids who come to train, they want to go Division I in some type of sport. And I'm able to use my life coach with the parents and also work with some other executives. But I just want to share with you really quick, just for your prayers and a quick testimonial. For you to have, we appreciate you so much. You're like a big sister, and that message, I don't know what to say. I can't even comment on that because that'd take too long, but that was for me. It wasn't for anyone else on the line except me. So if anyone thinks it was for them, it was for me.
What was for you?
Yes. That's just, and I was this close to doing something else today because I love to go to the Lord first for what he has for me. Although I'll play back your messages. I really like to go to the Lord first before, you know, I hear from anyone else, even Dr. Price, and you're so powerful. But, you know, the Lord prompted me, go on today, go on live, you know, go on today. And I did. It was just incredible. I don't know what to say. I'm glad time has passed because I was holding back the tears while you were speaking. So the tears are gone. So I don't have to go through that over live over the phone.
Well, first of all, I want to congratulate your wife. Please tell her I'm excited for her and I'm enthusiastic. I want to thank you also for calling back and giving the testimony, because people need to know that this is working. I'm not just here every Thursday hoping it turns out. I know it's going to turn out. And I want to thank you for that. I want to congratulate you on your business, because I remember you were pressing through with this for a while. And the one thing God is saying to you is to be patient and to hone your business model. God wants you to hone that model, refine that thing, so that when that moment comes, you don't have to apologize or make an excuse for anything. Perfect that business model. That's the Lord's word to you today. Perfect it, test it, trial it, critique it, give it to people to really beat it up, because what God has for you, it's a one-shot deal. You won't get a second chance. So don't rush the process is what he's telling us. Don't rush it. Let God take you step by step. I'm looking at the Holy Spirit. I'm looking at Jesus, and he's got you by his hand. And you are just, your hand is in his hand. Don't let the enemy psych you out. You're going to do well. Now, I'm going to pray. But make sure you tell your wife that I'm congratulating her. I'm so proud of her. Tell her we are, the kingdom is proud of her. We love it when God's people move into positions like that. I get excited because that's giving God a footing, and I love it. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you in Jesus' name, Lord, for Mark and his wife. First of all, thank you for just loving us. Thank you for your testimony. Thank you for caring for us, Father God. We bless you, King Jesus. We bless you with all of our heart. And, Lord, I thank you for blessing their lives. Now continue to lead him all the way to the finish line. I know, God, that he's not far. Lord, he's already got the ball in his hand, but he's got to make sure that this one shot counts. So show him any questionable areas. Show him areas of concern. Anything that looks like it's not going to fly with what you prepare. Point it out to him, God, and give him good mentors and counselors that will also critique it and make sure that what you have called him to do is fully written out, that the vision is plain, and that he who reads it can run with it. I bless you for doing it, God, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, too. Keep me posted. I'm excited.
Okay.
God bless.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Prophet?
Yes, yes.
I got time for another call. Aren't I moving today?
You do. You have time for a few more, and I have some for you. All right.
All right.
We have next on the line, Keita from Virginia, and she is calling because she's looking for prayer and direction. Her job is closing. That's one situation she's working through. And then her other situation, Dr. Price, is her 19-year-old son. She's struggling with some issues with him, being violent and having some issues with the family. So, and also questions about ministry. So she is fully loaded. Keita, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, it's wonderful. Thanks for calling in today. It's a blessing. So, Tina, did you get anything out of our exhortation?
My God, you were definitely talking to me. I have been on the edge, on the ledge, and almost threw myself off, actually. With all I'm dealing with and just trying to get clarity on where to go from here. So that was an encouraging word.
Well, the one thing God is saying to tell you is, first of all, stand. Stop entertaining the idea of not going to the finish line. That's his first word to you. Stop entertaining the idea of not going to the finish line. Make up your mind that bowing out, giving in, quitting is not an option. Take that off the table of your solutions, and then you'll begin to see, okay, if that's gone, now what? So that's the first thing. I'm going to – what is your ability? Can you – do you need to go back to school for retraining or something?
I don't know. I'm not a fan of school.
Okay.
So I'm not sure. They're actually picking up the company and moving it to Atlanta. So I'm toiling with the idea of moving with the company.
Have you been with them a long time?
I have been with them for 3 years. Unfortunately, it's only been as a temp. So that's my dilemma is, you know, is it really in my best interest to continue supporting a company that will not bring me on full time to receive paid time off, vacation or holiday or any medical benefits for that matter?
Well, if they're not willing to bring you on full-time and yet they want you to make a giant leap to a whole other state, I think you probably want to reconsider that. Remember, here's my big issue, and I deal with people all the time. People make a lot of promises to me that they don't keep and all of that, but I got one rule. If you don't buy in, then I know you're bowing out.
Right. Their answer is that when I go to Atlanta, everything will be full time, and I'll have the benefits and all that kind of thing. But I'm still, I don't know.
Did they put it in writing?
Yes.
So they put it in writing that you.
I have my offer letter. Yes, ma'am. I have my offer letter now.
Okay. So then what's your misgivings about? What are they about?
Well, because of the issue with my son, leaving him here, I'm kind of nervous because of that, because he'll be on his own. He has created some issues and situations and done a lot of self-sabotage to where none of the family want to be involved. No one will take him in. So he'll be basically on his own, and he may be end up on the street. But because of the issues we've had, I just feel like we can no longer cohabitate.
Well, how old is your son?
He is 19, getting ready to be 20.
Oh, well, then he could be on his own. 18, he's free. Here's the thing. Do I think, if you think you can help him, here's what I would do. I would set him up. I'd make sure I get him some counseling, connect him with whatever agencies you have in your region. Give him a full start, you know. Give him an opportunity. Because whether you stay there or not, he is committed to walking out whatever his decisions are. I would do that. I'd get him in a good church, get somebody to pray with him. If you feel this job is for you, and you clearly have made up your mind, what you don't want, and I'm going to tell you, I'm a mom, okay? I'm a mother of 3 grown children, 2 grandchildren, mm-hmm. have to make some hard calls, okay? But your concern is, will people think horrible of me because I will not babysit my son's train wreck decisions?
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't want to feel the guilt. Is God going to charge me? You got your son to 18, okay? You got him to 18, and if he wants to live with you, then he has to kind of clean up his life. He's told you he doesn't want to live with you. He wants to live off of you.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to know the difference between the two. See, because he wants to live off of your provisions and off of whatever. So you've got him to 18. I would not just, you know, drive along. So I would try to help him get a place. Okay, you can get a room someplace. Get him in a little room someplace. Get him, help him find some sort of sustenance for himself. But in the end, he's got to take care of his own life. Because you keep holding him. You keep picking it up. He's not. Here's what I say, and I always have a real difficult time with this with a lot of my members over the years. You have got to let God make a man out of him. That's what God wants. God wants him to become a man. You want him to be your safe boy. And see, that you and God have 2 different decisions and 2 different goals here. God wants to make a man out of him. And if he wants to be a man, when God gets on you, you pretty much will end up there. But anyway, if he wants to be a man, then that's what he has to do. I would find him a place, you know, where you can get him a little coach, some sort of a mentor. You just set him up to succeed.
Right.
It's up to him to make success happen.
I've definitely tried all of that. I've tried Boys and Girls Club mentors. I went to some churches. They had good programs, but they refused because we weren't members. I've had in-home counseling. I've had private counseling for just him, counseling for just me. I actually lived in New Jersey. I moved to Virginia to get my father, who is the church I go to try to assist, and absolutely nothing. Everyone would just refuse it because of the behavior and the attitude and the disrespect. No one will work with him. Anyway,
well, let me ask.
I can't get.
I want to ask you 2 questions. Then, does he have emotional issues? Have you taken him for emotional issues?
Yes, ma'am. They have diagnosed him. Yes.
And what have they diagnosed him as?
ADHD. They've said schizophrenia, oppositional defiance disorder, that kind of thing.
Okay, so
I did have him on medication, and he refused. His father told him he didn't need it, and the state told me I couldn't force him to take it.
Okay, so then you can't force him. Who's he going to stay? Can he stay with his dad?
Nope, because they have the same personality, so they don't coexist long at all.
Well, what does that mean?
They both have the same personalities. They clash. When they're good, they're good, and when they're not, they're really not.
Well, here's the deal. He's got to stay somewhere. Okay, that's number one. grow. Right. You cannot force him to do it. And if the state has told you that you have already done your responsibility, I think the state has already confirmed he needs to make his own way. Now, my right. thought is I don't know what kind of agencies you have there, but I would still set him up to succeed. But if you feel, because he's grown, he needs to make it his own way. If there's a facility to put him in, let him go and put in the facility and let him sign himself out if that's what he wants to do. But you do what you need to do to set him up for success. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray. There is something that is bothering him. I want to ask you, I want to take you, ask you to do me a favor. What happened yeah. to your son when he was seven?
When he was seven? That's, I think, about 6 or 7 is when the issue started. I was engaged, and me and the gentleman had split up, and he believed that it was my fault. That we split up, but that wasn't the case. The gentleman had cheated, and as well, I wasn't aware, was a known drug dealer and was caught, and he was Panamanian. He was deported.
Okay, so your son felt, so when did you stop being with his father?
His father was someone else. We were never really together.
Okay, so this kid is very angry about not having a family
yes.
unit. Okay,
yes.
So that's his hot button right now. He's just, I'm upset because I want a regular family unit. And so
yes.
somehow we've got to enable him to move past not having had one and being equipped to create one for himself. Those are the two things that are on his plate right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to pray for him, but I'm going to tell you right now, I personally, and I'm sure I got a lot of listeners who will tell me something different, but hey, you know what? You know God, you'll follow the Spirit of God, but I personally would not bind my life to that. You have a destiny, he has a destiny, and if he doesn't want to do it, I would set him up to succeed, and I would pray for him, but I would do what the Lord has taught us to do, commend him to the Lord. But you have to be willing to live with all the possible consequences.
That's what my dilemma was, that if I leave, then I won't get involved, and God will do what he can do, because I just keep putting my hands in it. Every time he gets in trouble, every time there's an issue, I'm trying to do all I can, and I'm just like, I'm at my wit's end, I'm done with it, and I don't know what else to do because I did and tried everything I could.
Well, that's my point, but my point is I'm okay with you doing that. I'm
mm-hmm.
telling you, but you have got to be willing to live with even the extremest of consequences.
Yeah.
And not turn around and say, I thought I could live with it, but now I'm mad with God for 15, 20 years.
Right.
So my counsel to you is this. You walk yourself psychologically through the worst that can happen to him if you're not there, and ask yourself, can you still live with that, still love your God, still know that it was the best decision for him?
Mm-hmm.
That's your hard question. That's why we're on this phone today.
Okay.
Because I need you to be clear on that. Because whatever I say, whatever anyone else says, you've got to live with the processes and the journeys that God will take him on to deliver his soul.
Yes.
And the question is, can you live with it and still love yourself and love your Savior?
Yeah.
Have you asked yourself that question?
I've been toiling it.
You, excuse me?
I've been toiling over that.
Well, then that's the question. So you can't make a decision until you resolve that question, because you
right.
have to live the day after the worst happens. And you have to ask yourself, and then you have to gear yourself up for that possibility and the fact that you're going to have to live with that decision and do so without regret.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would say to you. Now, I personally, but again, I mean, my kids are grown. I'm on the other side of life, whatever, but I've had difficult times. But I'm telling you, you have to decide, does this kid have the right to put my life on hold until he decides to get better? And should I let life pass me by while I babysit him?
You're absolutely
right. Is there
right.
a better way? Huh?
You are absolutely right.
So you have to make those decisions. That's where I was. I can't tell you what the best decision is. I can tell you that the decisions that you're making need to be clarified. Number one, are we going to let this young man's refusal to deal with whatever he want, whatever he's facing with, facing right now, bind your life? If that's the case, do you feel like that's God's call, that you nurse him through this until? That's your first issue. Your second one is, if you decide not to do that, will you be able to live with the worst that can happen to him? And then your third one, will you be able to live with it without regret, still loving yourself and loving your God? When you can answer those three issues in your heart with absolute, not only certainty, but peace, because you may yeah. never be certain, but when you can do that with peace and assurance, then your decision is made.
Okay.
That's my counsel to you. Some, but never leaving without a hope, I'm going to pray for you and pray for your son. Now, I think that if you have a job offer and you can't find a job in town, ultimately you're not going to be able to help him anyway because you're going to go broke. So
yeah.
there are some logical things. You know, one of the things that concern me, Tina, about the Saints is that, and really about emotional high-strung people and a lot of emotionality that's peddled on folks today, is that we have make all of these emotional decisions, but life is not emotional. Life is practical. It's literal. You know, pay your bill. You don't work, you don't eat. Pay no rent, you're on the street. You see how that works out? So you've got to make decisions for yourself. But you've got to make the decisions fully aware, eyes wide open, if you will, that when you make these decisions and you make these calls, you chose the best thing for not only your present, but for your later life. Because when you get older, you can't do anything with that.
That's true.
So those are the things that I would say. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Blessed Redeemer, for Tina's life. Thank you, Lord, for just being her God. Thank you for her getting through today. Now, Father, I ask that you would step in by your righteousness and according to your sovereignty and work this situation out for this young man. He's tormented, God, so we come against the torment of his soul. And, Jesus, I stand in the name of Jesus, and I speak to him as you spoke to the madman of Gadara, and I said, loose echo, loose him and let him go free. And I decree and declare, God, that he is put in his right mind. Now, Lord, put him with the right people to walk him to wholeness and soundness again. Give this mother your answers, your wisdom, and your peace, God, in a way that she knows it's you, in a way that she can live with for the rest of her days on this planet. I bless you for doing it. I bless her with the job. I bless her with the resources and the economy she needs. And, God, give this young man his not only his life, but his soul back. If and loose his mind and loose his being and let him be made whole. And we bless you for doing it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Keep me posted, beloved. I want to know.
Yes, thank you.
You're very welcome. God bless.
God bless you.
Prophet.
Amen. Yes, yes, all
and,
right.
Now, listen,
we have next,
before we go, wait a minute, hold it. I have to interject. You know, we got one more thing we didn't cover. You know, we got this housework thing. I want to also invite my listeners to, is it at our website that I have the iConference that I did with Prophet Mario Maxwell?
Oh, yes, that information will be up there, uh-huh.
Okay, I want to invite... Say it again?
I said it's also on your Facebook right now.
Oh, good. I saw it there. So I want to invite you all to go. I did a very interesting iConference on the State of the Prophetic with Prophet Dr. Mario Maxwell. Great, great session. It's powerful. Now, here's why I want you to get it. It's great information, but if you are a prophet, if you're a prophetic trainer, if you are a person that God is awakening to the prophetic, you want to get this. It is an immense tool that you need. So I want to encourage you, when it's over, go to my website. There is, again, she says it's on my Facebook, so either my website or my Facebook, and make sure that you get this. if you are prophetic, if you're a pastor dealing with prophets, if you are a ministry leader and you bring prophets into your organization, this information is powerful. You need to get it. He is an amazing interviewer. We had a great time, and together our collective wisdom, our joint wisdom, brings forth some of the answers and some of the insights and the prudence you need for dealing with prophets going forth to in the future. So again, go to my website or go to Facebook and find out how to get it. But by all means, if you are an intercessor, you have a network, what any of that, go and get it. It's important. And I thought about it as we were transitioning into the calls. Ashley, so I want to mention that. All right, who's my next caller?
All right. Sorry, here. Your next caller is, someone just dropped. Okay, we have Lisa from Connecticut. She is calling you today, Dr. Price, because she is, of course, in need of some prayer. She's missing her mom right now, and she's dealing with spiritual warfare. Lisa, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Hi, Dr. Price. I really enjoyed your exhortation. It was a blessing.
Oh, great. Thank you, Lisa. I'm glad to have you on the line. So what's doing with you?
Even though my mother's been gone for a couple of years, especially today, it's more of a heaviness, and I have been dealing with warfare, battling spiritually and emotionally a great deal of it, and I just requesting prayer.
Well, I'm with you on that. Lisa, tell me this. What changes have you made in your life and your lifestyle? Where are you visiting, and where are you, who are you fellowshipping with?
Oh, I'm seeking the Lord. I serve the Lord. I go to school I'm going forth in a positively.
Okay, the reason I'm asking you is because I need to find out, Lisa, and I'm just really probing a little bit, but I need to find out who have you been confiding in. There's a counselor or something. What is new? Because there is something very different in how you did in your life from the last 6 months. Something altered. Relocation? Did you move? What is it that
No.
you did that's new?
I haven't relocated. I've been in the same ministry, maybe in the same church, other than dealing with family loss or family emotional, a contention in my family.
Let's talk about that. What is that something that just developed? What is the cause of the contention?
It's legal issues.
Okay. And your mom would have handled it and had it resolved by now, wouldn't she?
It wouldn't exist if she were here.
And that's where you're stuck. You see what I want? You see where we're at here? And you really you really are missing her because you, first of all, you appreciate a peaceful family environment. Your family has been fractured and frustrated, and so you're really missing your mom because you're missing her interventions.
Yes, I guess I didn't realize that. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because she seemed to know what to do, and like you said, she was that matriarch. She was that tempering force in the family, and they're missing her too. You know, a lot of this infighting has to do with everybody feeling so, they feel so abandoned because she's gone. So I'm going to pray for you and also realize that if you just sit down, you know, your mom might be gone, but you still got your God, you know, and you're in a good church. You are, and I'm going to tell you right now, by what you're doing, I don't know what it is you're doing, but God said you're making great strides in your life. Do not let these situations drag you backwards.
Okay.
You did a lot to pull yourself together and get yourself back into the game. Don't allow this to do that. This is in your control. I know it doesn't feel like it. Now, and I will tell you that, you know, I lost my mom 4 years ago. And, you know, and you do. But the spirit of your parents, it never leaves you because their memory never leaves you. And you will have moments with that, moments that you feel that loss. But that loss can't define how you proceed in life.
Okay.
you have to experience that 30-second window, you've done with it, and then put it back, kind of like you do with a keepsake that's precious to you. If every now and then it jumps out of your heart, it jumps out of that special place where you have it, and you kind of give yourself that little few seconds, but you put it back in its special place and thankfully go forward with your life.
Okay.
It's important. And let me tell you something, for those who listen, if I didn't learn anything from my mom's passing, those matriarchs do make a difference, and those families fall apart. Enjoy your moms, enjoy your patriarchs, enjoy those mothers and fathers, because you have no idea the powerful restraining force they are in these families. So I just want you to know that you don't have to yield to every memory or every revisitation of your mother's memory. You can flip those memories into positivity all the time.
Okay.
All right.
I have been fine. It's just I just didn't know what happened. It's just like all of a sudden it just, and usually I can get through it, and it was just today was very
difficult. Now, I think it's the fighting of your family, unless it's a birthday or holiday time or something, because I'm sure holidays were the hardest for me, you know? So holiday times are also not, I mean, they make you more vulnerable. And so that's, now don't beat yourself up about this. Just decide how you want to manage it, because you love your mom. I think it's very good that you still want to remember her and you enjoy your memories of her. So don't beat yourself up about this.
Okay.
Sometimes it's because we know our family's in a better place and whatever, we feel a little bit guilty that we miss them. No, that's normal. Enjoy the moment, but just make sure you dictate the terms and conditions and not outside forces. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
Let me pray. Father, God, we just love you. Jesus, you're such a sugar pie, such a great God and awesome Savior. Now, Lord, I'm asking that you would just visit Lisa, visit her heart. And also, Lord, be her comforter. You said that you gave us the Holy Spirit as a comforter. So I'm asking that you take away this sense of aloneness that she's feeling right now and this sense of isolation, God, and this also this great sense of loss because she misses the conversations with her mom. And I'm asking that you do something special, God. Would you do us a favor in this situation and give her another woman that she can talk to, someone that she can just feel safe with and feel comfortable with. I'm asking that you would do this, God, by your grace, a good mentor, a friend, a confidant. God, no one can replace her mom, but she can certainly have a good mentor, friend, or confidant who will let her just go through these moments and also let her just revive some of those socializations, some of those activities that she did with her mom. I thank you for doing this, Father. Now, I speak to the contention in this family, and God, I'm asking that you would go and remind them that their mother's memory and legacy deserves better than this, and I'm asking that you would bring peace into that family, peace in that family, in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, and you call me again. You cannot call me enough. I understand.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
You're very welcome. God bless. Prophet, do I have time for one more?
You do, and I have one more for you. He just slid in under the wire. This is Calvin from Louisiana, and he's calling for prayer for direction and a release of his finances. Calvin, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Praise the Lord.
Well, praise the Lord to you. How are you doing, Calvin?
I'm blessed, Apostle, and I truly thank God for this opportunity to come on and speak with you. It's like I feel the Holy Ghost right now.
Amen. How can I help you?
Well, right now I'm in a men's ministry. I've been here over a year. I'm doing the work of an administrator, and I'm feeling my season here is over. And I'm looking for directions from the Lord as well as a release of my finances. I haven't had an income since I've been here, and I've been basically doing the work of the ministry.
So now is there a way for you to get a secondary job or a support job, Calvin?
Well, every time I attempt to do that, the pastor tells me that God has something waiting on me, and I don't know. I'm just trusting the Lord right now.
Well, let me just tell you this. A lot of times pastors, because when you're good, we're so short-handed that we forget that our people have needs. So let me tell you this. Get yourself a job. Whether
yes,
you
ma'am.
Stay there or not, get yourself a job, because there's nothing in Scripture to say that you should not work and you should not have some way of taking care of yourself. If the pastor is not going to meet your needs, if your pastor
yes.
is not going to meet your needs, I'm not going to give
yes.
you a roof over your head, I'm not going to give you a stipend, I'm not going to give you a salary, then you need to get a job.
Yes, ma'am.
Because if not, let me tell you, the only way that you know that you don't need to get a job is if God makes up that money elsewhere. He will always make it up, which means he'll put you in a place where you don't have to pay rent, you don't have to pay any utilities. He will see to it that you get some opportunity to help somebody out on some other way so that you can bring money in. But the idea that we do nothing and magic happens, that is not God. So somehow or another, you have to get an economy. If God has not put you in a place and he's not met that need by people sowing seeds to you and all of those other things, then you need to get a job.
Yes, ma'am.
And so that's about as quick. So I'm going to pray for you to get a job. Now, I know the pastor is probably going to have a fit because pastors have a lot of needs, but the bottom line is with my staff, my heart grieves when they can't make it. And so I want to help them make it any way I can. And so if your pastor is not able to see that, we're going to pray that God gives your pastor the eyes to see. But you, if you remember this word to everybody who's listening, if God tells you don't work, he's going to put you a place where you're taken care of.
Amen.
And if he hasn't done that, then God wants you to go to work.
Hallelujah.
All right, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for Calvin. I thank you for his church. And Lord, bless his pastor to hear the suffering and the difficulty in this man's heart. Bless him to do that, God. And if the pastor has a way to meet his needs, then, Lord, put it on him to do it. And, God, if not, give this man a job. We put him to work now. In Jesus' name, give him a job now so that he can meet his needs and know that you are watching out for him. And God, thank you that you would take this magic mentality off of your people regarding serving you and regarding our economy as we do so. And we bless you for doing it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
God bless
amen.
You.
God bless you.
All right. Bye-bye. Prophet.
All right, yes.
Was that not a good call?
That was a good call. I love it.
God is a good God. I'm going to wrap this up with this statement. I will say to everyone who's listening, you know, God has times and seasons. And I will say to you, perhaps in the 80s and 90s when the church was in its heyday and the movements and all of that stuff was happening, a lot of people could expect, you know, the milk of human kindness to plug those gaps. We're not in that era right now. The church has lost ground. There are a lot of people who are jaded, et cetera. The list can go on. You need to recognize that if God told you to work for a ministry, he will provide for you. He will put you in a place where you are living and you're cared for, even if that place requires you to do some cleaning, babysitting, or whatever, where you can do that. He will give you other ways, and he will speak to people concerning you and see to it that an economy comes to you. But let's kill the idea that money is going to rain from heaven. It doesn't. Even if it did, it wouldn't fit our treasury, so we still need to do something else. So remember that as you go forward. Well, Prophet Ashley, we had a great show today. You've got a couple more minutes. So are there any final announcements you'd like to make?
Well, as always, you visit drpaulaprice.com to see what's going on in our amazing world that never stops moving. We do have our new ebook, Secrets to Powerful Prayers, Invoking God's Kingdom When We Pray. You definitely want to download that if you are a prophet, apostle, intercessor, or you just like to pray. It doesn't even matter. We all need to pray without ceasing. Also visit our website about the Tulsa Prophetic Forum, which is running up on us June 19th through the 21st here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Now through May 1st, registration is $99 a person. After that, it is $125 a person. If you are coming in a group of 10 or more, that's $75 a person. Or if you are a married couple, that's $85 a person. So do not hesitate and don't wait and don't delay on securing your Tulsa Prophetic Forum registration packet. Again, go to drpaulaprice.com. Go to Dr. Price's Facebook, Apostle Paula Price. her fan page. She has been writing some of the most tremendous lessons, and I say lessons because they are, and encouragements and exhortations on there. You can get a lot from those, which will drive you to our website because you'll want to get more information on that. And those are my thoughts from today.
God bless. Hi, this is Dr. Paula Price, host of The Paula Price Show, reminding you to revisit last week's program at blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show. Hi, this is Dr. Paula Price, thanking you for joining me on this week's show. I want to remind you that the counsel and wisdom, the prayer and prophecy that you enjoy today does not have to end with today's program. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show and join tens of thousands of people who re-listen to my program every week. Again, blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show, and you can relive the experience every single day. God bless you.